You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a very special Halloween installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. The Saturday evening, October the 31st, along with Keith Alexander, who is in his costume. He's dressed as a lawyer tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I've never seen such a thing.
Pretty scary, huh?
But it's good to be with you on Halloween, as it is good to be with you every day. You know, Keith, I don't think we've ever actually had a live broadcast on Halloween. It just seems as though if we have, even over the course of these 16 years, I don't remember Halloween ever falling on a program night. I mean, maybe it has, and I've forgotten, but here we are nonetheless.
The first time for everything, James.
Well, is the trick going to be on us come Tuesday? That's the question, and that's, this is our last show before the election day. We are going to take one final look at the political landscape as it exists before us here this Halloween night. We got a couple of guests coming up in the second hour, deep dive in the third. How do you feel?
Well, I feel this is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, as we used to have to type in typing class when I was in high school. These are the times that try men's souls. We are going to run into a dirty tricks campaign on this election like nothing you've ever seen before in your life. And I hope that Trump is lawyered up and ready for it, because these people will steal the election, and they will wear you out with their mendacity, and they're not going to be called out about it because the media is 90% run by leftists. It's what you've got in television and broadcast media and the major cable news networks and broadcast news networks is nothing but nonstop wall-to-wall leftism. The conservatives have an edge in, I think, the internet and also on the radio. But that's there are a lot of people that just doesn't seem to affect. I think there are a lot of people that when they're in their cars and they turn on the radio, they're listening to music and not listening to talk radio. If they're listening to talk radio, they might get educated somewhat about what's going on, but they don't. And as a result, we have a major task ahead of us, and we're going to have to fight. We've seen a lot of this before, and we'll go into that later in the show, but it's don't be surprised to see a surprise, something we've never seen before.
It's our last show before the election. It's Halloween night. It's a perfect storm. And I know we've been covering this, obviously, the election all year and the pros and cons of Trump extensively over the course of the last couple of months. I would just say this is my final word. You don't have to like Trump. You can call him a disappointment in many ways, and you wouldn't be wrong. And God knows the Republican Party deserves to be utterly destroyed. Trump is not our savior. He's not really an explicit ally. He's not a long-term solution. But who would you rather see win on Tuesday? This is the choice you've got. Paul Craig Roberts wrote an article about it. November's choice, Trump or the establishment. Would you rather see Trump win, or would you rather see the sanctimonious, outright white-hating and God-hating media win. That's really all there is to it. Keith, to me, that's the beginning of it, and that's the end of it. Do you want Trump to win? Do you want the media to win? And when given that choice, I will tell you in no uncertain terms, I have not voted yet. I always savor and save my vote for Election Day. I will go to the polls on Tuesday, and I will vote for the re-election of the President of the United States. I am voting for Donald Trump. I want you. I think you should, too, as well, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
and this is the guy, remember, I mean, if anybody could have a personal gripe, as we've said before, I am putting it all aside. You know, we've been denounced by the Trump campaign on a handful of occasions in the past, and we understand all of that. It isn't personal. It's pragmatic. It's what is best for our people. Now, it may not be Trump. In the long term, it's not Trump. But in this choice, the choice we presented with on Tuesday, Trump or Biden, what is best for our people? Remember, that's our litmus test. Is it good for our people? What of the two options is better for our people? It's Trump. It has to be.
Well, look, it has nothing to do with the bona fides of Trump. Trump could be a Casper Milk Toast. He could be a George W. Bush, and we would still have to vote for him because the left has ramped it up. You know, they've put all their chips on the table, and if they get in, it's going to be something like the Bolshevik Revolution
in America. Keith, we talked last week. Joe Biden said flat out in his first 100 days he's given blanket amnesty to 11 million third world illegals. Now, that's not what he called them, but that's what they are. And we know about the government protection he's going to try to push for eight-year-olds who seek to mutilate themselves and just all of this sick. It's bad. Look, if you want it as bad as it can get, as quickly as it can get there, as a father of three, having my third child, I can't say I'm an accelerationist. I want it to get as bad as it can get, as quickly as I can get it. As a father, who would want that for their children? I don't want that. But the election landscape, Keith, is tightening. It is tightening. And here's Trump's path to victory. I'll lay it out here. It's pretty simple to me. I'm looking at all the states that either are in the Republican or Democratic columns firmly, the states that lean Republican, lean Democrat. Here is the trick. This is how Trump wins. He must carry either Pennsylvania or Michigan. He must carry one of those two states that as of this moment, he is not expected to win. He has to carry one of those two. And in addition to that, he must hold Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona. Now, if you're not looking at a map, just do your best to stay with me. He has to win either Pennsylvania or Michigan. He has to hold Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona. If he does that, he wins. He cannot lose if he does that because he will carry. We're assuming he's going to carry Georgia and Texas and some of these others that are a little bit closer than they probably have been in recent years. That's the ticket. He has a path. It can be done. We're going to talk in the next segment about some of the people standing in his way, and it is that Republican Supreme Court. We're going to talk about that at length in the next segment, but there is a path, and the polls show that the races are tight. He's within a couple points in some of these critical states like Pennsylvania. And I will say, Keith, don't discount the shy Trump voter, or rather people who are hesitant to let their preference be known, even to an anonymous pollster, for fear of retribution. These voters could account for a 3 to 5 foot bump for Trump, 3 to 5% bump for Trump on Election Day that could deliver some of these states that intelligent pollsters, don't you know, are saying won't go that way. Equally big question, though, what's the difference between the number of college-aged liberals voting for the first time versus the number of elderly Trump voters who have received their eternal reward since 2016. All that's going to flesh itself out. All of these are important.
And another thing to remember is that there is a great number of people that don't vote. Trump's hope lies in those people voting.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time.
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hope everyone is enjoying a fantastic Halloween with your families. Enjoyed that opportunity with mine as well a little earlier today. Trick-or-treating starts at like 4 o'clock now. Who knew? In the past, when I was growing up, it was like 7 or 8. You went after dark, but now they do it early. We were able to do that. We've had a lot of fun fall festivities, corn mazes and hay rides and all that stuff throughout the month of October. So my family's not getting the short end of the stick with me being here tonight, but we may all be getting the short end of the stick, depending on how it goes on Tuesday. This is our last show before the election, and if the Supreme Court has anything to do with it, Keith, we will. Listen to this.
Well, let me say this first of all. Just the real fright is not Halloween this year. It's the election that follows up Halloween. That is the thing that really has me frightened in a way that I haven't been frightened in a long time. Halloween has become the holiday that a lot of leftists want to celebrate more than any other, certainly more than Christmas and Easter. And you'll see plenty of people out doing themselves with yard displays and everything. But I'm telling you, this election is truly scary. There's nothing phonily scary or ha-ha scary about this election.
Well, as we have talked about in recent weeks, since the name of Amy Coney Barrett has come to such a public recognition, we never really thought much that she would do much. We were talking about, okay, well, maybe she's the best that he has a chance to get appointed. But already she is really throwing away the hope and trust so-called conservatives would have put in here. We talked last week about how, you know, the two critical states are North Carolina and Pennsylvania. And there have been cases brought before the Supreme Court regarding voting in those two states that the president must win in order to be reelected. And we talked in Pennsylvania how John Roberts decided that it was okay for them to continue to count mail-in ballots up to 3 days after the election. I don't mean count mail-in ballots that they hadn't counted yet. I'm talking about mail-in ballots that get delivered 3 days after the election, if I understand correctly. Once again, our good friend John over in the UK, he nailed it. He said this duplicitous traitor John Roberts is the most dangerous and treacherous man in America. And I repeat, if McConnell and Graham had dispensed with the unrequired hearings, Barrett might have been on the court long enough to cast a deciding pro-Trump vote. Lindsey Graham should have called for a vote the first day of the hearings. The Democrats were not going to vote if the hearings went on forever. He knew that. Then McConnell should have brought it to the floor the next day. So what's going on in Pennsylvania is the Supreme Court won't expedite the GOP challenge to the mail-in ballots. In North Carolina, they have extended the absentee ballots. You can send them in now up until November 9th. And Keith, I mean, for God's sake, if you can't vote by election day, they start bringing in these mail-in and provisional ballots like in August. And then early voting at the polls runs the entire month of October. If you can't vote by November 3rd, when you're given a damn month, and even longer than that, if you're mailing in provisional ballots or absentee ballots, to hell with you. I mean, why are they allowing people to vote for 6 days after the election in a critical state? This is the Republican court. For God's sake, they put 15 out of the 19. 15, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. 15 out of the last 19 justices that were confirmed and appointed to the Supreme Court were Republican nominees. Republicans, Republican presidents have put 15 out of the last 19 justices on the court. And what have you ever won? What have they ever given for conservatives? Nothing, that's what. And Barrett won't give you anything either. If all these people, all these liberals that think that there's going to be an overturning of Roe versus Wade, or they're going to crack down on sodomy, which they should, forget it. That's never going to happen. And she's already pulling the Jeff Sessions, isn't she, Keith?
Well, let me just say this. Regarding that decision in Pennsylvania, that was a 6-3 decision. If she had 5-3 decision. If she had voted on the right side, they still would have passed. The Supreme Court would have gone 5-4 in favor of leniency for counting votes, but. The bigger problem is that, as we've said before, there's a certain number, a group of people who will go unnamed right now, but we know who we're talking about, that like to own both sides of each coin. They definitely own both the left politically in America and the mainstream right. And you cannot depend on groups like the Federalist Society to vet and choose, basically, a group of people that are going to be considered for Supreme Court nominations. Because they're, as we say down here in the South, are weak as grandma's iced tea. They're not going to give you a real conservative. When I heard Amy Coney Barrett say that, you know, she cried with her black adopted daughter over George Floyd's predicament, and then said that she would not even consider, regardless of what the merits were, of overturning certain sacred totems of the left in terms of Supreme Court decisions like Brown versus Board of Education, I was through with her. I knew that she was going to be worthless. And because of that, you know, we run into the same thing. You know, it's, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And when it comes to Republicans appointing conservative guardians, they never come through. They always, you know, Trump is just falling right into line with Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, you name it, yada, yada, yada.
There was one. People.
George W. Bush, too.
There was one that was a tie, right? And Roberts broke the tie because Barrett wasn't on there yet. I don't know which one that was. It was one of the two that would have been 5-4. But didn't she say she was going to sit this one out since she was a late appointee?
Well, that's obviously what she's decided to do, But it just shows you that you have another confrontationally averse Supreme Court justice appointed by a Republican. You know, maybe she wants to make sure she goes to all the right cocktail parties.
That's exactly
like
what
Roberts
it is. They want to be a gracious loser, and that's all these conservatives have ever been. They've never won anything in my lifetime or in the past 150 years. They lose. They're losers.
A good loser is still
a
loser.
To hell with them. To hell with them.
I'd
hell with Barrett and Roberts and the whole lot of them. I mean, listen, if this goes to the Supreme Court, don't count on the stack. I mean, what, Trump's put three of them in there? Don't count on one of them voting for him if it comes down to another Bush-Gore situation in one of these states, which it might. I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility.
And if that happens, I tell you what, welcome to new Bolshevik America, because that's what we're going to have. There's so many changes that the left and the Democrats have already promised us are in the pipeline if they're elected. It's scary. This will not be movie No Country for Old Men. It's going to be a no country for old or young white people.
And of course, the Supreme Court in 2000 could have voted for Bush or Gore, whichever one they really preferred, because both were, as George Wallace said, two wings of the same bird of prey, or not a dime's worth of difference. I mean, there was no difference between Bush and Gore. You know that. And so they could have voted for Bush and still gone to the right cocktail parties. Trump, you know, listen, that's not the case with Trump. All right, you do something for Trump, you're not going to get invited to the cocktail party. Oh, man. But anyway, that's your Republican, that's your Supreme Court. 15 out of 19, what have they delivered for conservatives? Yeah, if Biden wins, Hillary's going to get on the Supreme Court.
Well, one thing about Trump, he has lived a full life. He's been to enough cocktail parties. He's not interested in all that.
We'll be back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Following three nights of unrest in Philadelphia and elsewhere in the country, Philadelphia officials say they will release the police body camera footage and the 911 tapes in connection with the officer-involved shooting of Walter Wallace Jr. Mr. Wallace's father, Walter Sr., says he wants the violence and looting to stop at a press conference Wednesday.
And I don't condone no violence, tearing up the city, looting up the stores, and all this chaos going. And I would feel like, is everybody having any respect for my family and my son to stop this violence and chaos what's going on in the city? I mean, we got good cops and we got bad. That's the system in the system. I'm not faulting. Somebody had to be all accountable for what they did.
No time frame was set for the release of the officers' body cameras. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
When I first switched over, because I stopped taking the other supplements I was taking and switched over all the way to Balance of Nature, I really noticed a huge difference. It was amazing. Like better sleep, better attention, better energy. It was just really, really great.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
The Department of Commerce dropped the gross domestic product numbers today. The GDP increased at an annual rate of 33.1% in the third quarter of 2020 as efforts continued to reopen businesses closed to COVID-19. U.S. fighter jets intercepted and escorted a plane flying in restricted airspace near President Trump's rally in Bullhead City, Arizona on Wednesday. The jets briefly distracted the president and the crowd.
That plane's about 4 days old. You know, we have all brand new equipment, F-35s, everything.
The aircraft was escorted out of the restricted area by the NORAD aircraft without further incident. Researchers in Europe studying the coronavirus and its genetic mutations revealed in a study a genetic mutation that originated in farm workers in Spain, and it may have contributed to the second wave in Europe. The Financial Times reported scientists are working to determine what role, if any, it could play in the disease's transmission or lethality. The variant was found in more than 80% of the infected in Spain. USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's Halloween. It's Halloween. The moon is full and bright, and we shall see what can't be seen on any other night. That's a poem from a book that I read to my kids. My dad used to read it to me, Halloween book, when I was growing up. I now read it to my kids just about every night in October. It's a book of Halloween poems. But anyway, it's God's hand, okay? Is God's hand in this? And I ask that because there have been a couple of breaking situations just in this last week that seem to be favorable for Trump's hopes. Now, if it does go to the Supreme Court, you know, I've seen a lot of these where you drop in your mail-in ballots. They've got these little metal. Have you seen this, Keith? They've got these little metal tin boxes, okay, all over the country. And I know at one location in Boston, somebody threw in a Molotov cocktail and burned up the ballots. And I think most of them were retrievable. About 50 of them were not retrievable. Those were probably the Trump votes. I'm just asking. I've seen that they are little metal thin tin boxes that you drop your ballot in. A little, honestly, they look less secure than a regular USPS mailbox. But how hard would it be to go into a predominantly Trump county, because you can tell in these swing states what counties heavily favor one candidate over the other. Most, in a lot of these states, even in places like Oregon and California, the rural counties are heavily Republican. It's just the major cities that take the whole state into the blue camp. How hard would it be in one of these swing states to go into a county that votes heavily for Trump and, lose a couple of those ballots on the way back? You know, you do that enough times. I'm telling you, that could happen. That is very – I'm seeing these little poll workers come up, these people, putting the – getting all of these ballots out, putting them in their sack like a mailman would, taking them in. You don't think it's hard to lose a few of those if, you're in a Trump county? And if that's the case, and if it's very close and it goes to the Supreme Court, well, we just talked about that last segment – I wouldn't hold my breath if I was Trump, counting on these three justices that I gave a lifetime position to rule for me, to rule in favor of me. But look at what's happening in Philadelphia, in this all-important state of Pennsylvania, Keith. You have a couple of things that have happened this week that questions whether or not, leads you to question whether or not the hand of God is moving for Trump in Pennsylvania. First, Biden's comment about the oil industry, which is so critical to a large section of the working base in Pennsylvania, and now these riots in Philadelphia. So that's a crossfire hurricane, as Mick Jagger sang about in Jumpin' Jack Flash. Biden's comments on the oil workers in Pennsylvania and the riots. So again, if those two things can push Trump over the top in Pennsylvania, if he wins Pennsylvania, the president can lose Michigan and Wisconsin and still coast to victory by holding Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona.
Well, James, all of your commentary on that presupposes an honest election. We are going to see anything but an honest election here. Now, you've said that you think that some Trump votes may be destroyed.
That's possible.
And that's very possible, but I think that'll be basically rogue actors. The real plan is going to be a replay of the 2008 Al Franken, Norm Coleman senatorial race in Minnesota after Paul Wellstone's death, who was a staunch liberal. and had represented Minnesota in the Senate for a long time. What you're going to see is endless recounts. And just like Santa Claus's sack, Santa Claus never had a sack like the sack of absentee voter ballots that the Democrats have in the ready. Remember what they did with Al Franken in 2008? They kept asking for a recount, asking for a recount. And the more they asked for a recount, and the weak as Grandma's iced tea, Norm Coleman acquiesced to this. And every time they narrowed the margin, basically they were just making up new ballots, new absentee ballots to count. That's what we're going to see. And if, you know, Paul Craig Roberts is a swing vote, we know that there's not going to be the Supreme Court.
I wish
Court
Paul
coming.
Craig Roberts was the...
I mean, not Paul. I mean, John Roberts, excuse me. Paul, please forgive me for that. But anyway, what you're going to see is just more and more and more votes coming in eventually. And the Supreme Court, if John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett are typical Republican appointees to the Supreme Court, nothing's going to be done to stop this. That's how they play the game. They do it. It's called, now, mark my words, keep this word in your mind, recount. That's what you're going to see in all of these battleground states, and it's going to be a full-blown, unrepentant, restrained voter fraud coming to us thanks to the Democratic Party.
And then, of course, you know, what's to stop Joe Biden from putting in 100 Supreme Court justices when he gets in? And Greg Johnson of Countercurrents brought up a good point, too. Why don't the Republicans do that, you know, when they had the chance? Why don't they stack the court? See, they would rather be gracious losers, and that's what they've always been. When you have the chance to go out and do what's right, you just got to do it. But
it's like R.L. Dabney's comment about modern conservatism back in the 1870s. They're just like the sparring partner for the real heavyweight champion, which is the left. They're intended to keep the champ in reasonable fitness, but they're chosen because they don't want anybody in there contesting with the champion that has a chance of knocking him out. That's why the Republicans are always weak as Grandma's iced tea. That's, we've got to get beyond these, well-mannered Republicans. We've got to get Republicans that want to win. You know, a gracious loser is still a loser, and we're at the point in our history in this nation that we cannot afford to lose.
Well,
because if we lose this, it'll be lost forever.
Joe Biden is still up to his normal nonsensical utterances this week. He referred to Donald Trump as George Bush. He referred to Kamala Harris's husband as Kamala's wife, which is actually pretty funny. But between the riots in Philadelphia, which we're going to cover in the next segment, okay, between that and his attack on the oil industry, will that be enough to put Pennsylvania in the Trump column again? If so, Trump's path to a reelection really widens. And then, of course, you have the whole Hunter Biden scandal and this Bob Alinsky interview with Tucker Carlson and Bob Alinsky's allegations. I don't know how much that whole thing, any of it, factors but it can't help.
Look, it's too little too late on that. The people have already made up their minds, and you have a active suppression movement in the mainstream media to keep this information out of the public's eye. Also, COVID is a big factor, and I've been wondering about that. You know, how tiresome is it that every evening you turn on the evening news or in the morning news or at the 10 o'clock news, and half of the local broadcast in news is about COVID? You would think that COVID was a black plague, but it isn't. Why are they doing this? One, they want to have an excuse for sending in a lot of absentee ballots. People are scared to go to the polls, so consequently, they were forced by this circumstance into sending in absentee ballots. And how cruel it is of you to deny these people their vote because of some incompetence in the post office. That's one thing. The other thing is distraction. They want everybody hunkered down in their own basements, like Joe Biden, waiting for Armageddon. They don't want people thinking about the issues that are front and center in this campaign. And they're having a good run of doing this. That's, you know, I don't know about where you live, but where we live, James, half of every local newscast is silly, Ned and the Third Reader reactions to the COVID virus, how brave this little girl is that is selling cupcakes to help people that have COVID and stuff like that. Just total nonsensical drivel. That's what it is, and it's part of the plan, in my opinion.
Well, you said, Keith, a lot of the people have already made up their mind. Of course, that's true. But in Pennsylvania, they don't favor early voting to the extent that other states do. I think in Florida, over half the people have already voted. In Pennsylvania, it's only about 20% that have early voted. So these riots in Philadelphia, again, we're about to cover that in the next segment. The situation with Biden and his position on the oil industry, which has become really another major talking point for Trump up there in the last few days before the election, that could have an impact. We'll see. I guess we'll all find out on Tuesday when the tale is told. We'll be right back to talk about those riots, though. Don't go anywhere.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. don't think little big girls should go walking in these spooky old woods alone.
What a great song. One of our Halloween favorites here at TPC.
And more Memphis music. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. That was recorded down at Phillips Recording Studio. The only number two hit that came out of that studio. That was the studio that succeeded Sun Studio.
We all know Sam Phillips and Knox.
Yeah, right. But that particular song was recorded there on Madison Avenue in Memphis at Phillips Recording Studio. And the drum that they use in Woolly Bully is actually a Samsonite suitcase that they put up on a tabletop and hit it. But, you know, more trivia than you want to have to cope with, I'm sure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is Halloween night, as you know. It is our last show before the election and our first show since our 16th anniversary was celebrated last week. Keith, just 30 seconds and no more. What a show it was last week. I just felt obligated and compelled to give the audience one last tip of the hat. We opened up the phone lines last week, and it was just a deluge, an overflow outpouring of affection. What an audience we have. And we're going to be with you, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what happens next week. We're going to be with you all the way to the bitter end.
Well,
or the glorious triumph, whichever it may be.
Well, let me just say this. Whenever we turn the studio, turn the program over to our audience, you can always depend on the audience to come through. We had great people calling in, and we love it. We had, I would start naming people, but I don't want to offend somebody by leaving them out. But all of our callers and all of our audience, quite frankly, are top-rate people. The type of people that used to populate America before the left became popular and became fashionable. And they're the salt of the earth, and we recognize it, and our hats go off to you.
All right. So, again, we were making mention of the fact in the last segment. Biden voters are rioting and looting the weekend before the election in Philadelphia, a major city in a crucial swing state. God's will be done. So the situation up there was Walter Wallace Jr., I believe is his name, Walter.
Not George.
And certainly not William. But we'll call him Walter Wallace. Walter Wallace, he was an aspiring rapper and the father of nine.
What an unusual plan for a black kid in the ghetto, right?
A
father of nine. How old is he?
And an aspiring rapper. Now, if you're an aspiring rapper, that's a very nice way of saying you obviously don't have a job. And he hardly sounds like America's best. But anyway, he was stalking police officers with a knife. After being repeatedly told to drop the knife, he continued to maneuver towards them. Now, what do you expect the police officers to do? Wait until this career thug, and he had a rap sheet of violence. He had been arrested for putting a gun to a woman's head, been arrested for assault and all of these things. So he had a rap sheet, okay? This wasn't his first rodeo. He's coming after you with a knife. Now, what should they have done? Should they? And they were retreating, by the way. The cops were stepping backwards, but he was advancing quicker than they could fall back. Now, what should they have done, Keith, with this guy? Should they have waited till he got on top of them with the knife to see if he was really going to do it? No, they shot him. It was the most logical, defensible action they could have possibly done. But what happened? What happened? The coddled, the pandered to Biden voters, these disgusting, ridiculous people looking for any excuse to go out and riot and loot. They were at it again in Philadelphia, like we've seen in so many cities across the country this year. But this time, it's in a major city in a crucial swing state the weekend before the election. Who's it favor?
Well, it should favor Trump, but you never know in today's America. Let me tell you that you asked me, what should the police do? Well, they should have sent out an all-points bulletin for Tinkerbell to come by from Peter Pan and sprinkle fairy dust on him and sweeten his disposition. That's apparently what the Black Lives Matter people want. And black people, one, want to be protected by the police, but two, they don't want them taking any type of physical or harsh measures against black criminals. So where does that leave the police? That leaves the police with a totally impossible task. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. You can't stop, physically dangerous, violent criminals by sprinkling fairy dust on them, okay? It's just not going to work. And all of these problems arise out of attempted arrests. Apparently, the lesson that Black Lives Matter want, is that they're saying, don't police us. We don't want to be policed. The only black person that you can arrest is a person that wants to be arrested. And let me tell you, those are very rare. So this, this is a strange situation. Look, we live in an alternative universe now where the police are the bad guys and the criminals are the good guys. Of course, that's just like everything else the left does, okay? White people are bad, black people are good, heterosexual people are bad, and homosexual people are good. You know, just go down the list. Everything that they promote is promoting the wrong side of the ledger if you want a civilized society to live in.
All right, so again, the situation in Philadelphia. A man, career criminal, tries to come at police officers with a knife. He rightly gets shot. This is not systemic racism, you coddled little ingrates. The controlled media in all of these situations this summer where there's been an officer-involved shooting of a black suspect, they always try to excuse the actions of the deceased by blaming it on drugs or mental illness. They said, well, this guy was mentally ill. I don't give a damn if you're high or crazy or both. If you stalk police officers with a knife, you might get shot. These people need to be punished. All of these people out there rioting in Philadelphia this week, they need to be punished, not pandered to. I saw one wheeling out a washing machine out of a department store on a dolly. Now, they are looking for any excuse to go out and have a good time, all right? This was the most justifiable shooting I've seen, all right? One of them anyway. And going out and rioting, at looting all these Walmarts and these Targets and these mom-and-pop stores in Philadelphia, these are Biden voters. Look, don't forget, there was not a single Donald Trump voter in any of those people that were out there a part of this riotous behavior.
I didn't see any MAGA hats out there, that's for sure. And what's happening, James, is that we depend on a certain level of law in order to have a society that is desirable to live in. If you steal all the washing machines and all the products that are for sale in stores, guess what? The stores will go out of business or they'll close down. And we will have a less happy society to live in. People are going to be deprived, not because of any lack of productivity on the part of American entrepreneurs and business people, but because the police are being hindered in their essential task of keeping law and order. That's all that it is. That's what's happening in America today. And, you know, the unfortunately, the Democrats are four square behind all of this. They are, encouraging it. They're trying to pretend that these people have valid grievances. And that's what is driving them to do this, this systemic racism and stuff like this.
It has nothing to do with it. When you're coming at a cop with a knife, and they have to know that, Keith. I mean, I think that they have to know that, and they're just pretending that it's this to excuse their actions. In my ignorance, I always thought that looting and arson were crimes until I watched blacks get away with it all year with impunity. And much more than that, they didn't just get away with it. They have been rewarded and bribed for this behavior.
Well, we're going to give you a chill pill here, Jim. It's going down. But you're telling the truth, though. Here is what it comes down to. They are they control the media. The Democrats and the left controls the media. And the way that they report things affects public opinion. The first great example of that was the Civil Rights Movement. The first time in American history in which lawbreakers were portrayed as heroes and law enforcers were portrayed as villains. Well, just fast forward to 2020. The same playbook has been dusted off, and it's being used in the presidential campaign and in all sorts of movements. Basically, if you're a proponent of law and order, of having a nice, leave it to beaver type of society to live in, you're part of the problem. You're a bad person. and people that are lawless, violent, homicidal even, they're really the good guys. You know, this is how crazy the new brave new world of the left is.
All right. Well, Keith, we're coming up on the end of the first hour. We've got a couple of guests coming up in the second hour. We're going to do those micro interviews we've been doing throughout the month of October, where we get one guest, one segment. We let them have a punch, a swing at this thing right before the election, trying to get a cross-section of ideas and opinions and outlooks and commentary. And that's going to be coming up in the second hour. Halloween night, election day is on Tuesday. Have you voted yet, Keith?
Absolutely.
You did early vote. I thought you'd like to savor it.
No, I went to a polling place, and I had one person in front of me in the line.
Who'd you vote for?
Trump.
We'll be right back, everybody.